follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Anyone could light a candle.
Just like a flower.
Welcome to Our Sacred Journey with your host, Audrey Katagawa. Our program is designed to bring you inspiration, new perspectives, and experiences of love, compassion, and kindness in action. Our guests are global citizens who live and manifest their values, principles, and ideals. Come share in their activism and values that are making positive contributions to humanity. Now, here is Audrey Katagawa.
Good Monday afternoon to all of our listeners. It's a great way to start our week with inspiring guests. Welcome to Our Sacred Journey. This is your host, Audrey Katagawa, with my special guest today, Bhola Nath Yogiji from Dang, Nepal. In Nepal, to add the letters J-I or G after someone's name is a sign of respect. I first met Bhola Ji in early 2006 through his younger brother, Chintamani Yogiji, who appeared previously on Our Sacred Journey. Bhola Ji, thank you for joining us today. You are
Thank you very much.
Nepal, which is 10 hours and 45 minutes ahead of where I am in New York City and 12 hours ahead of Pacific Standard Time. So we are therefore very grateful to you for staying up so late to be with us. You are the founding principal of the Dang branch of Hindu Vidyapith schools, which has three schools located in Nepal. Your school in Dang helps to provide values-based education for approximately 430 children. In addition to this school, you help to create and currently administer the Children's Peace Home, which began as a concept 20 years ago, but became a reality in the beautiful farming community of Parsa, where you grew up as one of 10 children. To all of our listeners, Bhola Ji has a BA degree in Sanskrit literature from Trimbhuvan University in Nepal, a diploma in yoga education from the Deva International Yoga Center in India, and a degree in yogic therapy from the Open International University in Sri Lanka. He speaks seven languages: Nepali, English, Sanskrit, Hindi, Punjabi, Bengali, and Taru, and several local languages as well. He is involved in several social and cultural organizations that serve children, disabled persons, the elderly, and the enhancement of spirituality and education. Bhola Ji, thank you for joining us today. Please help us to create the sacred space for our program by sharing a prayer with us.
Thank you very much. Yaschitta santatalaya salaya pradishto yastu pravanjana vidhana rato hathasa yo mantra muti vasaga sahi mantra yogo yaschitta vritti rahita sahi raja yoga yam shaiva samupasate shivaiti ब्रह्मेति वेदांतिनो बौद्धा बुद्ध इति प्रमाण पटवः करते ती नहीं आयिका। अरहन नित्य अथ जैन शासन रता कर्मेति मीमांसका सोयम नो विदधातु वांछित फलम त्रैलोक्यनाथो हरि। थैंक यू वेरी मच।
Well, thank you. That was very beautiful. Now, I want to share with our listeners that in 2006, I went to Nepal for the very first time. I went to the capital city of Kathmandu to dine, to stay with Bolaji and his family, and to visit and ride out a nationwide strike that was about called and was in fact called that virtually shut the whole country down. Bolaji and his family were gracious and generous in every way and seamlessly incorporated me and the two members of my spiritual family with whom I was traveling into their daily lives and routines and made us feel completely at home. We became members of their family and we ate our meals together and every evening sat with the children for evening worship, singing, music, and cultural performances by the children who are not only students of the school, but also boarding at the school. I want to thank you, Bolaji, again and again for your hospitality and many kindnesses to me. Now, while you had me meet your beautiful mother in Parsa, and she sang spiritual songs for much of the time that I was there. Can you please share with us about your parents and the values they instilled within you that helped to shape who you are today?
Thank you very much, Andrewji. I also delighted to see you here in Dang. It was my great time with you to spend with, and I have so much spiritual knowledge and feeling from you. I mean, I'm very lucky child. I grew in Parsa with all my brothers and sisters. So I think the spirituality and sociability, whatever things I know I'm doing, I'm going ahead for betterment of the this country or this universe or whatever you say. This all has come from my father and mother, I think, and my gurus. There are a few things. My father used to love very much guests, actually. So that's why many, many saints, many, sadhus, sometimes the people, like travelers, they used to come to our home. And they also taught me something. My father always said, you grew on the lap of the sadhus, actually, he said me. So I think it was because my father's loving nature to the guest, actually. Without guest, he was not eating food. So the guest brought so many information for us. And whenever guest comes, we were very polite and respectful to them. And they were also very polite. And that's why we learned something from our guest. And it was my father's guest love made us something to do for the society. At the same time, he used to say, because in Hindu culture, it's so many things, so many contradictory, which you do not understand. My father said, used to say us, keep going on with your culture, keep going on with your tradition, keep going on with whatever our purvas, our ancestors have been said us, and try to find out, is there anything dogmatism inside, then try to find out that. Okay, go slowly with this, because how our culture has been brought up with that, culture have been come from our ancestors. There must be something good they found in their culture. That's why they've been carrying on. So that's why we used to sit in the bhajans in the evening, chanting hymns and talking about the good, stories, good saints or something like that. So, and at the same time, my father was sort of socially involved with other organizations here, and he was sort of preacher also to the other people, in education, in economic system, he was sort of in all, everything he was doing. So he had always a helping attitude, and that sort of emerged in our family. I'm very much proud that I had such a good father. Unfortunately, he died 11 years ago. Still, my mom is always reading books, like no religious books. And at the same time, she's very modern also, in the other hand. Like, you know, she embarrassed, she want to cuddle everyone, not only Hindu or something like that. She do not have any distinguish between poor or rich or something like that. So that those things help us to do something for society. And like, you know, that given us the way, I think. Thank you.
Well, how wonderful. So basically, you know, they had a very open, non-discriminatory policy towards people. They had, you know, they're very social and very welcoming. And I will verify to all of our listeners that your parents taught you very well in terms of hospitality and kindness towards guests, because you were certainly very kind to me and my two spiritual family members. So now, Balaji, you are very well educated in yoga philosophy and traditions. Please share with us about yoga philosophy and how you have incorporated this philosophy as a way of life for yourself.
Good. Thank you very much. Actually, the yoga philosophy, first of all, I would say that is I got from my heritage. Like, you know, I'm born in yogi family. My father, my great uncle, my other elder brothers and sisters, they all are talking about yoga, doing yoga, asanas, pranayama. So that's why I grew up in that sort of like a sort of, you know, environment. That's why I certainly, like, you know, what if the test I got in the mind when I'm childhood, that is my life also. And among the older, like, you know, when I grew up, like, a little bit bigger, when I went to the study, the old, lots of philosophy, lots of, like, you know, what is world, what to do, and things like that. I found among these old six philosophy, which we say theist philosophy in Eastern culture, which is Sankhya, Yoga, Mimamsa, Vaisheshik, Nyaya, and Vedanta. Among this also, I found yoga. Of course, I follow other Vedanta and Nyaya also at the same time. But still, I found yoga philosophy is more effective for me, because yoga is mainly, important for me, because it joins together. It joins us, person to the society. It joins a country to the other country, like, you know, nation to the international, one religion to the religion. Like, you know, basically yoga means join your soul to the super soul. But at the same time, it has got something social meaning also. Whatever you do, yoga karmasu kausalam, whatever you do, each and every work, if you do that perfectly, that is called yoga. I mean, atma, the soul, to join to the super soul is also yoga. That means yoga has got the you have got both hand full of the sweets. So, like, you know, one hand you are putting yourself to the God, like, you know, is connecting to the God. Other hand you are connecting to the society. And at the same time, shariram adyam khalu dharma sadhanam, because our body is the also very important. Without body we can't do anything, any work. So, and we can't do the yoga also. So keep your body also well. So that's why we do the asanas, pranayamas. And so this is sort of like a, somehow it is sort of like a health caring also, caring your brain, caring your soul, caring your body. You care about, we say, mind, soul and body practiced all together. So that's why I found it is very much it gives you the empowerment inside. That's why I follow the yoga, I can say. And at the same time...
Balaji, it sounds as if it's a highly unified integrative system. And of course, you know, many thousands of treatises and books have been written about this philosophy. We're going to have to take a short break right now. But when we come back, I will like you to continue about this yoga philosophy, and I also want to go into the school that you founded in Dang, the Hindu Vyajapith School. So this is Audrey Kitagawa with my special guest, Bola Nath Yogiji, on our sacred journey. We'll be right back.
invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Whether you're ready to start a new relationship or just improve the one you're in, tune into Seduce Smart with Jennifer V. Host Jennifer Victory will discuss fascinating ideas and topics about the realm of love, including everything you need to find that perfect man or woman of your dreams. It all starts with learning to love yourself before falling in love with someone else. Listen to Seduce Smart every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Start off your weekend with love. The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to all of our listeners on Our Sacred Journey with my special guest, Bola Nath Yogiji. Now, Bola Ji, you have founded the Hindu Vidyapeeth School in Dang. Can you share with us about the school?
This school is actually, we thought, what we wanted to give to the people, like, you know, a good human, the human which can be at the same time salable also, like, you know, should be the working something. So which is the good for the resourceful for the country also. So in starting, we thought, let's start some Sanskrit education, because we, Chintamani and I, my whole family, we like Sanskrit education very much. But at the same time, we thought, if we do the English education also together, so we can connect with the whole world, the message what we want to give to the world, that also we can do through the English school. So we started Hindu Vidyapeeth as an English medium school, actually. But at the same time, we kept our Sanskrit, like an ancient language value also, and ancient value also we wanted to put in that. So this was the one of the experiment, like, you know, through the English, through the modern education, we want to talk about ourselves, one thing. Other thing is, the very important thing is, like, you know, rich and poor people we can put together. Our aim was take money from the rich people and help the poor people also. Somehow, when I was little, I heard about the Confucius in China, what he started the education system. He was taking money from the rich people, like, you know, he's charging to the rich people and sharing to that money to the poor people also. That was one of the aim to start Hindu Vidyapeeth. So Hindu Vidyapeeth is not to teach all the children, it is only concept, because in Nepal, education was sort of like going as a commercial also. Now people are making money out of the education, and we are living against about that, because education should be the social purpose, not to the making economy, like, you know, and not to making sort of like a profit motive. So we want to set up a sort of like example in society. Through the social way also, we can give the education, and in that cases, we can put the more moral education in that than the, if you're making that profit-making education.
Okay, so now share with us, you know, this values-based educational curriculum of the school.
Value-based education in a school is, we say, we have got the books, which is, we say, Naiti Shiksha, which is moral education. At the same time, we are doing yoga and meditation. Sometimes we call the people from the, like, you know, who knows about the, like, you know, we say Mahapurush, saints we call in the school. And like, you know, lots of great scholars come to the school and tell about the society, tell about the what is important of the education. We do not want to teach them as a, we do not want to make them as a machine. Instead of making a machine, we want to make them a human, good human. They must know, like, you know, mathematics, they must know the science, they must know the Sanskrit, they must know their position also. At the same time, they need to know they are human. So this type of thing we are teaching them, and every Friday we have got the sort of like that type of classes, like, you know, and sort of like a creative program we make with them. So that's why we teach them moral education and value-based education. At the same time, we are teaching, though you wear the tie, you wear the shoes, and you look like a modern people, but still you need to obey your parents, you bow your head in front of your parents, like, you know, respect your parents, something like that, respect your society, agriculture and whatever you do in the farming, everything in the home, that respect that also. We teach these sort of like a moral values to the children.
Well, that's really wonderful. So basically, you know, you also teach the ethics, respect for the culture, for the elders and parents, as well as the community and each other. So I think that is very, very important to instill these kinds of spiritual values in the children. So I applaud your work.
I think at the same time, what I've been realized that we are very much success in that also, because we found the children who have been to the Hindu Vidyapeeth, they are very much you can tell they are student from Hindu Vidyapeeth. They are very much polite, and this student has come from Hindu Vidyapeeth. This very good success I feel personally.
Well, of course, the schools that you and your brothers have helped to build and create and found are highly respected in the Nepali society. So my congratulations to all of you. Now, Bolaji, Nepal was in the grips of political turmoil and a civil conflict that killed approximately 13,000 people and spanned over 10 years. When I visited you in 2006, Nepal at that time still had a king. It no longer has a king, and was and still is considered to be one of the least developed countries in the world. Please share with us about Nepali culture and community empowerment and the impact of this civil conflict on your country and the people, and how the people are overcoming the effects of the conflict.
Well, I mean, I've got a little bit mixed feeling about how many people died, 13,000 or 2,600 only, there are lots of, because in country time, the government and mines, both sides are not very much honest to tell people what happened. Actually, we are in dark. What if the data has been made by the other countries, social worker or human rights people, they made the, the human rights also not very clearly clean also, I think. So I didn't have much about that, knowledge about that. Thing is, in the conflict time, you were here that time, you also one of the sufferers, I think. In conflict time, what happened? We lose so many things because I went to the study to the India also. When I think about Nepal, I thought always peace, relax. And people are sort of like a different model people I found in Nepal in that time, which generosity, which politeness, which cleanness Nepali people had, that is very much ruined in those time. We are not worried that what happened in Nepal, but still we are very worried about what is the value we lose, as what is our symbolic of the peace we lose in that time, and is still losing. That is hangover is still going on. Other people say Nepal is very poor country and developing country, though I accept as economically it's a poor country, but I think Nepal is very, very rich country in other ways. There are more than 118 languages. People are living together, their culture, their tradition, their food, their costumes, everything is alive in Nepal. And that means they are respecting each other's culture, each other's languages, each other's sort of like a their values, they are sort of like a preserving each other. Nowadays also, we don't have any good government or any sort of like a system, any sort of like a constitution we do not have made. Still, we have been looking after each other. There are Tharus, there are Magar, there are Yogis, there are Brahman, Kshatriyas, so many ethnic, so many groups of people are living together. It's very wonderful. So in that cases, I think this country, it was something like, you know, not very good value, not very good sort of like a social background should have been broken this time, should have been spoiled this time in that big conflict also. Still Nepal is alive because of the, it is generosity, it is people's like, you know, kindness is making it still. But in that also I will blame to the Nepali people again, because they didn't do very well with each other last time. It was very, very dreadful, very, very frightening. Yeah, it is.
Well, it's a lot of work that needs to be done to rebuild the trust and feeling of solidarity within the communities. But yes. Your schools that you have created with your brothers are very instrumental in helping to bring about the proper cultural as well as moral and spiritual development of the young people. And yes. Who will eventually be the future leaders of the country. So now, you no longer live at the school in Gorai. At the time that I visited you, you lived with the children in a five-story complex. And mm-hmm. But you now have moved from the school in Gorai Dang, and you have, although you go there every day to administer its day-to-day operations, but you now have moved together with the children's peace home to Partha. Now, when did you move to Partha?
According to Nepali calendar, we moved here 2064, which is about, in 2007, actually, 5.5 years ago. Actually, what happened, one day I was talking with the children, because we are living in the same building, building has lots of echo sound, quite a big building, always noisy. And I talked one day, why don't we move to the Partha? Because we had a little bit of economic problem also living in the town. And in Partha, we had our family house. My mother used to live alone that time. And at the same time, we have lots of land here which we can cultivate and make something sort of like a for the food for the children. So it was wonderful this that taken by the children actually. All the children, they said, all of a sudden, let's go to Partha, make heaven in Partha. So I was very sort of like, my eyes were tearing. I thought, what I was thinking, the children also think the same way. They want to go to the nature also. And what I realized, because in Gorai, we are living together with the rich children and poor children also. When our rich children, their parents bring their trousers, 1,500 rupees trousers. Sometimes they bring their parents for them quite expensive thing also, which our poor children who are sponsored children are couldn't afford for that, and they found little bit discriminated with them. Nowadays, when we come to the Partha, peace home became one family actually. Now there is no big and small. Everyone has got problems. Someone is parent do not have parents. Someone has got a single parent only. So many problems in home. But when they live in children's peace home in the Partha, they live like a family. We all are one. So when they go to the Gorai, they don't have that hesitation now, because they also in the same uniform. They also fed enough. They also looking good now. So their secrets of poverty, the other rich people do not know in the school. So I think because of that also, children want you to come to Partha. It is their decision more than my decision. I started my idea only, and they did decide. That's why we came here. I'm very much happy that this place is sort of like a heaven now, lots of trees, lots of oxygens, and children play, climb on the trees, work in the field. They are with the nature now, because at least they are very poor people. They need to go to the one again into the whatever family they have left now. They need to go there and the education, we don't have much, not many chances for the, employment also. So in that case, they may need to, the life skill also. So they're looking after the sort of like livestock also, and making kitchen garden also. So many things they're doing together. And I found the children very healthy and very happy now in Partha. That's why I think it's a good decision to come to Partha. We came here about 2007, yes.
So wonderful. Now we're going to have to take another short break. This is Audrey Kitagawa with my special guest, Bola Nath Yogi Ji, on Our Sacred Journey. We'll be right back.
is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Can you imagine a technology that takes human consciousness to the next level? One that reveals a new understanding of what is valuable and possible in the abundant support of life? The truth is, we already have that technology. We simply need to awaken to it and become the value it creates. For more about this, please tune in to Awakening Value, Shamanic Technologies of Consciousness and Success with host Marty Spiegelman. Awakening Value is live every Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Be visionary. Be extraordinary. Be the change. This is the Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to all of our listeners on Our Sacred Journey. This is Audrey Kitagawa with my guest, Bhola Nath Yogiji, who is in Nepal at this broadcast. Now, Bhola Ji, you created this peace home, a children's peace home in Parsa. Now, tell us why you created this peace home.
Because I wanted to give training to the children, like, you know, which they can learn their life skill also. Like, you know, they need to know what is the gardening, what is the kitchen gardening, what is sort of like agriculture, what is paddy, how you grow, like, you know, how you look after the animals. So those things also we want to teach. And at the same time, we're teaching how to make the candles, how to sewing their shirts and things like that. So many things, which is, we have got enough places. In Kurai was very small, so enough places, quite big garden and everything. And at the same time, what I realized, the children are always ill there because they're living in the same house always. They're going to the, in the morning also, they're going to sit in the same benches and same desks, and in the daytime also same benches and desks. They found very monotonous there. That's why we thought, let's go to the Parsa and make peace home there, and the children will be have the, like, you know, silly freestyle life. That's why we came here. And we are happy that we did right decision, I think. Yes, thank you.
So now at the Children's Peace Home, it sounds as if you teach them trade, like agriculture and making candles. Yes. You also have the academic component because they still go to the school every day in Gorai.
Yes.
And but they are now, they have a very, very peaceful environment as well. I understand that the children's daily schedule is quite packed with activities. Can you tell us more about, the specifics about what the children do at the Children's Peace Home?
They wake up normally 6 o'clock in the morning, except the small children, like, you know. So it's timing 6 to 7, they have a cup of milk. And half past eight to nine, they eat a big brunch. We say, the breakfast or whatever. And they get ready for another hour, their books and if anything are left over. So before go to the school, like, you know, before the breakfast, they do their, like, homeworks and, like, you know, they do the work. And they go to 10 o'clock to the school, reach there half past 10. And half past 10, school starts, and half past 4, it finishes. During middle of time, 25 past 1, they eat their sort of a lunch pack, a small tiffin, we say. And in the evening, half past 4, they come back here, they change their clothes, and after that, sometimes they play, sometimes there is any kitchen gardening or anything they have got. Each student has got something work, like, you know, he needs to clean this room, someone has to do putting water in the, like, you know, plants, something like, you know, very small work they always do, like, you know, so sort of like half an hour in season time, maybe 1.5 hours also. Otherwise, mostly 25 minutes, 10 minutes, something like it. Depends on the work. They help each other. And some children, they help in the kitchen, like in chopping vegetables, something like that. And after meal, like in the evening, we have a prayer session, which is very important session. We say this prayer session, we pray to the God at the same time. We do poetry, drama, dancing, like, you know, and especially we are having volunteers from the like in England and other countries also. And they also mix with the children in the whole, like, you know, process, so in the whole programs. So they chat with the volunteers and they learn English also. Like, you know, at the same time, children, sometimes volunteers, they make something, lots of program in the prayer sessions. And we have English songs and Sanskrit, Hindi, Nepali songs. So many things. And I, whatever the information we want to give, we give in the prayer session. Whatever thing we want to tell the children, like, you know, the stories and everything done in prayer session. So prayer session is sort of like our main heart. And I found because of prayer session, children are in the control, and what is the value-based education thing we think that is going on through the prayer session program. It's a very lively program. Each and every child looking for always the prayer session program. So that was our. And after that, after meal, sort of like 7 o'clock, 7 is, it depends on the, like in time, in cold week, it goes at 6 o'clock also. Otherwise, in the summertime, 7 o'clock, we have got a meal, big meal in the evening. After that, they do the work, like, you know, their homework or something, like, you know, they go with their books again. So 9 o'clock, they go to the sleep because we sleep a little early and wake up early also. That is sort of like our daily routine.
Well, it sounds as if you're teaching the children about taking personal responsibilities, meeting their duties, their chores, as well as anchoring them with a spiritual consciousness as part of their daily routine. So it sounds like a very wonderful but very packed daily schedule for the children. Now, you had mentioned a little bit about the volunteers, and I understand that the Children's Peace Home has established a volunteer system with students from Oxford, Cambridge, and Durham universities to teach and spend time with the children during the summers. And you also had some student volunteers from Australia visit the Children's Peace Home recently. So tell us how you made the connections of having this annual commitment of volunteers from these very prestigious universities come and help you in the farming community of Parsa with the Children's Peace Home.
It was by luck. We found a person called Kitchen Russell, which is no more now. She's from England. So she used to work with the GAP organization in India. Somehow she found us in Nepal. And she sent some volunteer here. And then afterwards, we set up the sort of friendship system with the GAP organization in England, which is in Reading in England. So unfortunately, during the Maoist time, when the first attack in Dang, the GAP organization, they stopped sending volunteer here. We used to have 6 month volunteer at that time, and every year 4 volunteers used to come to the Parsa in Dang. But during the Maoist time, they stopped the volunteer. But the thing is, the volunteers who had been already there, and they were very bright volunteers. Most of the volunteers went to the Cambridge, Oxford, Durham, and other university nearby, like Leeds and things like that. So those volunteers, they wanted to continue again, and they were talking about the Parsa, they were talking about the Hindu Vidyapeeth, Kathmandu Hindu Vidyapeeth, Dang. So actually, this is their interest much, like, you know. And these volunteers, they started to come here, and they set up they said, Uxbridge volunteer sort of like organization, and sort of like the organization they made, and they're selecting volunteer every year. So this year, we had 8 volunteers in one group, other group came also with the 80 volunteers, and they go into their colleges, and they will send other volunteers for next year. So this sort of like voluntarily they're sort of helping to us. And this is the number is increasing more and more, like, you know, the lots of volunteers wants to come, but unfortunately we don't have much place here to put them, and much work also. Because they have got only in summertime they're coming. So when volunteers come, if they bring full of joy, like, you know, this peace home becomes like, you know, like fulfilled, like, you know, children and volunteer all mixed together. They're from a very prestigious school, but our children are very lucky to talk with them, and they're teaching English, like, you know, and not only that, sort of lots of knowledge they bring, like, you know, lots of modern society, like from the rich home also people come. So we are very mixed, society we've made because of the volunteer, I think. So we are lucky, like, you know. And we have got set up now SBP UK organization, which is charity organization we have set up in England. So that's why through the volunteer, we are getting help also. Their parents sometimes sponsor children. Sometimes they send the lump sum money. So that's why we have been helping 164 children in the school. Whereas we are having 34 children living with us in peace home, but other 130 children come from the different home, because some of the poor children have got some other, like, you know, family members or, like, you know, some relatives are alive. So that's why they live with them, and we say we teach them free, or sometimes we give them clothes and books, things like that. So in all, like, you know, volunteers also have got a very big role to making this all facility and, like, you know, economically help and educational help. So we are very lucky to having those volunteers here. Yes, we got the, we are having other volunteers also from different other universities, but not regular way. And sometimes people from Australia, from America also, many people come from New York itself. Some volunteer came here. They are still helping. One of the volunteers, she came here. She's working in other country now, but still she's helping in making our website, making sort of like a Facebook, like a maintaining everything. So, so somehow the CPS has made a very huge international family, and that's why we respect all the languages, all the religions. We always pray, like in Ishwar Allah Tero Naam Sabko Sammati De Bhagwan, Jesus Buddha Tero Naam. So Jesus and Buddha also you are, and like in Ishwar Allah also you are, something like that. So we are a big family now. Thank you.
Well, that's really, really wonderful. Now, when the volunteers come to the Children's Peace Home, where do they stay?
For the 8 people, we have got rooms upstairs. Last time you came here, that time we didn't have that room, but nowadays we have made room upstairs. And we have made 2 small houses, one for the girls, other for the boys. So we have 2 hostels, and we have a prayer hall, which is assembly hall, we say. And quite big, like, you know, space in front of my house. So it will be changed when you came that time, and this time it will change. I'll send you a photograph.
Well, I have seen some of the photographs that you sent me of the volunteers. They certainly do look very happy to be working with the children there. And so all of these buildings have been built on your mother's property, and so you virtually have returned to where you grew up.
Yeah. My mom, I talked with my mom what she likes, and she was very happy to help children. Always she started, hey, come here. I want to give this one. I want to give you chocolate. I brought something for you. And sometimes children go, if they got something illness, they go to first to my mom and say, can you give me some vibhuti, like, you know, some ashes or something, like, you know, your blessing, so I can recover with my. And if they're going to take exams, I say, please, granny, bless me for us, like, you know. So like, my mother also one of the part of the family now, like, you know, this education family.
Well, how wonderful. So she has helped to raise children virtually for most of her adult life, and she continues with her very sacred mission. And for our listeners, Vibhuti is considered to be sacred ash. So in any event, we have to take another break. This is fascinating conversation with my guest, Bhola Nath Yogi Ji, on our sacred journey. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Thank you.
are tuned in to Our Sacred Journey. To reach Audrey Katagawa, please send an email to dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. That's dmaudrey@lightofawareness.org. And now, back to Our Sacred Journey.
Welcome back to Our Sacred Journey. This is Audrey Kitagawa with my special guest, Bola Nath Yogiji. Now, Bola Ji, I understand that you are also requesting volunteers during the non-summer months as well. These volunteers from Oxford, Cambridge, and Durham universities pretty much come during the summer, but there's also a lot of work that needs to be done with the children during non-summer months. So share with our listeners what your needs are in case any of our listeners may be willing to participate in your volunteer teaching program.
Thank you very much. Actually, the thing is, because we have got long relation with England volunteers, like, you know, UK volunteers, that's why we are having volunteers in the summertime, and we are pretty packed in summertime. But the thing is, room system and everything we set up with those volunteers, and still they are there. Thing is, in 3 months' time, we are packed, but the rest of the, 9 months, we didn't have the volunteers, and we need volunteers at that time, because somehow we found the volunteers more important for our school, because they make the English environment, the language, and at the same time, they make, life much lively, in here. And if other countries, someone has got break in that instead of summer, maybe in winter or some region, other volunteers wants to come, that will be very much wanted. Actually, we want to welcome those people. We want to be seeking help by the our international family, and please come and live with us, as a family, and we want to have volunteer. At the same time, what we found, the voluntary is also bring support to us there. When they stay with us, they know how the money has been spent here, what sort of feelings they get from here, they mingle with the children. Some of the volunteers from England or America, they are very rich. They never seen any poor people very close to them, they're sitting on their lap or something like that. So somehow they learn things what is the actual world also. And at the same time, they get loved with each other, and they help also. So is seeking volunteers helping in education, helping in kitchen gardening, helping in the other school activities sports or something like that. At the same time, somehow they help in economically also. So that's why we want to have us international friend, please come stay with us, and help these people, because we are having lots of our funds, after the conflict, we had more problems. But at the same time, sometimes people think, oh, if I go to Nepal, more old people are poor, we need to help them, something like that. Need not to think that. So our heart is very big. Come, if you do not have money, please give us, whatever you eat, food and accommodation. If you do not have, don't worry. So we are always happy to help you, always happy to serve for you, welcome you. So this social work we are making, not only seeking something from other people also, at the same time we want to give to the people as well, our friendship, our culture, things like that. So that's why we are seeking help, volunteers here.
Well, wonderful. Can you give us your website so people will know how to get a hold of you as well as learn more about your work with the Children's Peace Center, Peace Home?
I'm sorry. Actually, the website is, if you go to the Hindu Vidyapeeth, you will get the website automatically. And if you go to Children's Peace Home, you will get the website, www.childrenspeacehome.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
So hopefully that, you will be able to expand your volunteer program, not only in the summer, but throughout the school year as well. So now I understand that since 2006, when I was in Dang with you, that there has been a lot of the town of Gorai, where your school is located and where I stayed with you, has really boomed in terms of population growth, and also there are lots more orphans and street children than ever before. To what do you attribute these phenomenal changes in Gorai?
Actually, thing is, after the conflict, ceasefire, you can say, sort of a ceasefire, many people, they were sort of like, thought, let's go to the town area, we will save there. And they came to the Gorai, and it's very much dramatically changed into the Gorai now. Lots of houses. I think it became double or maybe even more bigger than the last time we came in Gorai. I fed up with that, actually. It's not a very good sign because the villages are empty now. And I think in my family, I got chance to come to the village back again. Otherwise, many people, they go to the cities or maybe abroad also. And at the same time, the street children number has been very much grown. Many people, they come from the hill areas. They think when they go to town, they will have everything. But when they come here, they don't have those facilities. Those economic conditions also, and not that many employments, so everything is they're facing no water problem. Road is very narrow now for that many people. It's not very good to grow. I'm always against to become very big town or something like that. Right. So it is very much changed. Of course, one good thing is because of that, education system is very much developed now because the population in Gorai. So we have got very good colleges in Gorai. The children are very bright now. Once when you came, the very few people used to speak English to tell you where to go, what is the road, and what is the way. But nowadays, many people speak English, and that is very good. Somehow, that is. Thank you.
So wonderful. It sounds, though, as if there still needs to have be a lot of help that needs to be given with respect to, providing for the many orphans and street children who are in the area now. So yeah. Now, Bolaji, if there is one message that you would like to share with our listeners today, what would that message be?
I think my message is Nepal is a very beautiful country. Come to Nepal as a world ally, as a tourist, but stay with us as a friend. And take from us love. I mean, Nepal is in problem now. The problem is our economy is not set up, our political system is not set up, and we need help from international family also. Please help us, but sometimes we see the people who come to help us, they create the other problem also to us. So that's why seeking help also sometimes dangerous. So please feel we are having more than 118 languages and those many ethnic groups we're living together. So this friendship culture should not be broken. And this flower in the world bouquet, Nepal is also one of the flower, so should be alive for the rest of the life, rest of the universe, world. So we welcome all people, all the people, all the internet family to come to Nepal. We also internet family. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with all of that. And I will verify from my own experience about the generosity and hospitality of Bola Nath Yogiji and his beautiful family. And I really encourage all of our listeners to really appreciate the beauty of Nepal as well. It has over 10 World Heritage Sites and, of course, is very famous for Mount Everest, the beautiful Himalaya Mountains, as well as many other rich cultural heritage sites. So I wish to thank my guest, Bola Nath Yogiji, for sharing his precious time with us today. Bola G, you've provided us with a wealth of insights into the powerful work that you and your family are undertaking to help the children and people of Nepal. It is really beautiful to see how you're able to live your values and integrate your spiritual life, knowledge, and wisdom into your daily life and share those with the children who are fortunate to be with you in your school and the Children's Peace Home. May God continue to bless you and the good works that you do. To all of our listeners, join us again next week for another inspiring program on our sacred journey. Bolanath Yogiji and I bid all of our listeners a very good evening.
Thank you for being a part of Our Sacred Journey. Please join Audrey Katagawa again next Monday at noon Hawaiian Standard Time, 3 p.m. in the West, 6 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. This week, think about the contributions of love and compassion that you'll make and how together we can create a better, harmonious, and more peaceful world.
Just like
thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.